The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
On today's experience, it's Dr. Dave's, that's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, we hope. Before this show is over, life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I still don't know. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk love with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian thingy. That thingy right there. Here it is. Asking this question once a week, every single week, one time a week. We're asking you this question. Are we expecting more in 2024? Now, before you answer that, I'm not saying, are we expecting more, like a poke in the eye with a sharp stick? I'm saying, are we expecting more? Is our faith high? Are we anticipating? Are we ready to receive? Do we believe? Are we functioning with an active faith that pleases God? Are we expecting more in 2024? Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Reach out and share it with us. All you got to do is give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. Do you have to work this weekend or are you off? Do you get to relax?
No, I am off Saturday and Sunday.
Wow, that's real relaxing and chillaxing.
Good. That's what I'll be doing.
Good for you. That is cool. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is if you've got a praise report, we want you to reach out to us. Why? Because it honors God, it blesses others, and it encourages yourself. If you've got a prayer request, we want you to reach out. We'll pray for you. Does God say yes on every single prayer we've prayed? No. Does that mean you stop praying? No. Is every day you've ever had not the best day in the world? Yes. Does that mean you stop living? No. Okay. So just keeping it simple as you can be. Bottom line is we'll keep praying. We'll keep petitioning. We'll keep praising. We'll keep doing all of these things. So if you've got a praise report, bring it. Let's hear it. Let's bless people. If you've got a prayer request, bring it. Let's hear it. Let's bless people by joining together. It's one of the big parts of Christianity is joining one another in the cause. And in our cause, we are looking to reflect Jesus Christ more and more every day of our lives. People go, why didn't God just take me when I said yes? Because I know I'm going to go through all these things. It's because you are a mirror of Jesus Christ. And God is making that reflection finer and finer every day of your life. So if you've got a prayer request, you got a praise report, you got something you want to share, something the Lord's put on your heart, something that you've noticed, you just something you want to, you know, I just think this is on my heart and mind, you know, something really blessed you, cool. It's not about kvetching, okay? When the children of Israel kvetched, they got in a lot of trouble. Kvetching is a bad idea, okay? God doesn't appreciate it. In fact, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, it says, you have wearied me with your words. You don't want to have kvetching as a part of your wordage because then you're going to weary the Lord with your words. Bad idea. But what you can do is you can call in, encourage one another, bless one another, strengthen one another. You call the 972-445-0770 number. Could be a question. We'll do our best to answer. Maybe we'll have the answer. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Depends on what the question is. If you ask me how to make the absolute best turkey, many of you will have the answers. I will not. I will just point to my wife. Bottom line is that. Additionally, by the way, if you're in San Diego right now, it's 11:37. If you're in Denver, it's 12:37. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:37. If you're in Detroit, it's 2:37. And we're saying if you want to reach out to us, you can text us at the same time. Text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Definitely a non-professional voice doing that same number again right now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email. Yep, emails work. They really do. To David, that's me, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org. All one thing. hemustincrease.org. I'll be able to see your email. So you got a praise request, you got a prayer request, you got something going on. Maybe you have something that is just blessed you, and you just think, man, I'd really, really like to share it. This is a great place to do that. I do want to remind people who are listening that in the next coming, let's see, this is the end of February, right, 29th. Sometime in the middle of April, we're going to be completing two books, kind of in the same week, or within a week of each other. And so two of the books have to be replaced with other books in the Bible. Right now it's looking like Revelation will be one of those books, which we'll probably end up doing on a Thursday. And then I've got to do another book, so I am keeping it open for people that have a desire to hear another book that we haven't yet taught in its fullness. So far, the show is coming up on 5 years. We've probably taught 20 books, if not more than that. And some books take longer than others. Just think of Job, which took a year and a half. So bottom line is, if you have another book that you really like to get into, we will jump into that. We've done mostly New Testament, some Old Testament. I'd like to be able to do some additional Old Testament stuff. Let me know what you think. That is wide open for all of you guys to share. In the meantime, that's enough of that. It's time to get into the Word of God. And here is another book that we're closing, but before we get to another one, we've already got this replacement. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, and I love 2 Corinthians. It gets rarely taught. How do you know it's rarely taught, Dave? Because there's fewest commentaries on 2 Corinthians 13, or 2 Corinthians, than any other book in the New Testament. That's one of the ways you know. Here it is. Verse 10 says this. This is why I write these things while absent, so that when I am present, I will not need to be severe in my use of authority that the Lord gave me for building you up and not tearing you down. As we conclude 2 Corinthians, we pick it up at verse 10. And over the past few weeks, if you've noticed, when you New Testament authors, they oftentimes explain why they're writing what they're writing, why they're writing what they do. The purpose is to ensure that even when they're absent, the truth remains clear. Paul conveys this message to the church at Corinth. Ooh. The apostle carefully explains why God has granted him authority in the word and in truth. What's the reason for that, Paul? His purpose is straightforward: to build up people rather than to tear them down. So throughout my 45 plus years of Christianity and my 42 and a half plus year to almost 43 years of ministry, I have witnessed countless instances where the Word of God has been preached either to uplift or to put down. The principle is simple. If someone teaches and they're putting down and they're mocking, or it's laughter to them, they really do lack that Christian insight. But a preacher who preaches about things that are going awry and weeps or feels that pain for people who are going in the wrong direction or feels that pain for people who are struggling, that person is more aligned with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and the declaration of the truth is to build us up. It's to build up a person, not destroy people. The idea of the Bible is it's not just supposed to be this mindset, and it is for some, of Bible bullets. Anytime ministers seek to control because it is important for them to have power, there is something wrong. Because Jesus told us how to engage with one another as disciples. And as followers of Christ, we're supposed to wash one another's feet. That hardly seems like lording it over one another like the Gentiles did. That's exactly the reference point that is being spoken against. So Paul takes the time and says, look, I'm writing you. You know, I have this use of authority. I'm writing this word, and I'm doing it to build you up, not to tear you down. That's one of the ways you know. You go to, I'm just going to say this and be very careful. I don't have anything against any particular pastor in Texas because I don't know enough of them to have that. But the bottom line in that is to say to you, if you're going to church and every time you walk out of church, you're just beat up to death and you're just not being built up ever, there's something wrong with that. Now, you're not always going to get, you don't get fluff. You don't get tickling your ears. Sometimes you got to be challenged with the bad news so you can understand what the good news is. That part's fine. But the idea is to have everybody draw closer to the Lord. Not closer to what the church dogma is, not closer to what the pastor's like, not closer to what people, you know, think that this denomination should reflect. It's closer to Jesus. That's the goal. Then he says this in verse 11. He says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for harmony. Encourage one another. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Wow. As he's concluding this letter, look at what Paul says. He goes, first and foremost, rejoice, rejoice. Hey, let's get this absolutely straight. You're saved. I was talking to my son the other day, and what I wanted him to rely upon was the power of the joy of his salvation. So I said to him, I said, Josh, I said, what's the worst thing that can happen? And so we would go through the list, and you get through all these lists, you know, and then this and this and this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen. And I said, then what happens after that? Then this happens, and then, you know, I'm out on the street, and I can't have any food, and then I starve to death. And I go, what happens when you starve to death? He goes, well, I die, and I go see the Lord. I go, exactly. I said, you're going to make it as bad as you can make it. What's the end result? The end result ultimately is you're going to see the Lord. That is the power to rejoice. That is the understanding that our faith is one that gives us a kick, a step. While the world is falling down all around us, and I think there's not many people that would disagree with that, you can be steadfast in your faith. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. And so we can be rejoicing. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. Yay!
And you think, well, I don't want to, you know, just play harps and, you know, float on clouds.
Me neither. I think that'd be kind of hellish. I want to do all the cool things that my brain can come up with And I know that heaven is greater than that, because eye is not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them. So I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. It'll be awesome. Talk about awesome sauce. That's a reason to rejoice. So he goes, finally, brothers. And then when you hear this phrase, like, finally, it's like conclusionary. You know that. Finally. It's like a therefore. Finally, brothers, rejoice. And then he tells them, look. He goes, aim for perfect harmony. Why do you have to aim for it? Well, sometimes perfect harmony is a little lacking. And in case you didn't know, sometimes perfect harmony in yourself is a little lacking. Just in case you want to know. Aim for perfect harmony. So that's the goal. Encourage one another. Don't discourage one another. We should be encouraging one another. Be of one mind. That's the mindset for the Lord. Not following my mindset, your mindset, or any other leader's mindset. It's following the mindset of Jesus. And live in peace. Because peace is a reflection of the children of God. Just go to the, you know, go to the Beatitudes. Talk about those that sowing peace, those are the children of God. So just think of it in this terms. The conclusion in 2 Corinthians is one of rejoicing. First and foremost, we're called to rejoice. And then Paul emphasizes again, rejoice. Perfection may remain elusive, but we still strive for it. So we aim for perfect harmony. Got a long way to go, but that's our goal. We're going to try and do our best. That's one of the things. And then in the meantime, while we're doing it, we encourage one another, we maintain the unity, and we live in peace. These are God's desires for us, and if we pursue them, he promises to be with us. It says, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Cool. They're going to hit every one of these targets perfectly, but do them the best you can with effort and sincerity, and the Lord will reward you with him. Ooh, that's pretty good. All right, here we go. Take a deep breath. We got one more thing to go, but take a deep breath. Here we go. First trivia question. I cannot really give you a reference other than the book of Leviticus. How many chapters are in the book of Leviticus? How many chapters are in the book of Leviticus? If you think you know the answer to that question, we would encourage you to give a call in. 972-445-0770. And yes, you can look it up. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, I'm going to send you up to the website. Don't forget, you got to be communicating with me what's some of the other books you want us to teach in the Bible. We are going to be doing Revelation. What other books would you like to see? But on the website, there's a place to fill out a form for praise reports, for prayer requests. And if you want to get some of our brochures, which are free, you don't have some kind of quota. You got to pass out this and pass out this. We give bumper stickers and brochures for people that want to have them available that they can share with others. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. We'll send them to you and just ask the Lord to bless you in them. That's it. Additionally, there's a place to give, which we think is pretty important, because I'll make it this simple. Without the giving, the ministry doesn't keep going. Yep, it's that simple. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Great idea. Check all this stuff out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
Jennifer is just killing it. She is just killing it. What's the matter, Chicken Sanders? Are you chicken?
I'm liking these new ones.
They're just genius. I just love it. All right, so you can check out the website. Lots of stuff up there. I can't really update you on my projects yet because we're just in the middle of doing so many things. I'm just going to smile and go, wait. I'm having to wait, so you have to wait. That's what's going on that end. Again, the trivia question. How many chapters are in the book of Leviticus? Right? That's it. And once you answer this question, you will most likely never forget. How about that? Isn't that amazing? Once you answer this and you know it's right, you will never forget that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Okay. All right? All right. All right. All right. There you go. All right. Let's go back to the text. Because this last portion of the text, I'll never be able to teach this stuff the value of it. It's just so far past me. Listen to this. This is the last two verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And then next week, we're going to be starting with Jude, which is why by the time we get into the middle of April, we'll be done with Jude. And that's why I need you guys to stay on top of it with me for the book that should follow up. Okay, here's what it says. It says, let me pick it up, verse 12, okay? It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And that was a hug and a cheek-to-cheek process kiss. Nothing bizarre about that or weird. When my in-laws come in, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, I give my father-in-law a hug and kiss him on the cheek as like an appreciation. He knows, and I know, that's exactly what they were talking about. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that's how we say goodbye. Verse 13, all the saints send you greetings. So apparently, whoever was around Paul knew Paul was writing, and he's like, hey, tell him we said hi. That's exactly what that is. It's the exact same thing. Oh, you're going to talk to this person? Tell him I said howdy. Right? Okay. And then verse 14, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You can't end a letter, an epistle, any better. This is one of the best endings of all the epistles, of course. Here's what it says. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just start there and stay there and live there and keep it there and understand there. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ represents unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. When I did that fast, my first major fast with the Lord, I actually spoke to me. Verbal? I think so. Stayed with me for 42, 43 years. I hear it all the time in my head, too. When I tried to earn God's everything, and the Lord told me, you cannot merit my love. You don't deserve the love of God. You receive the love of God. And that's what grace is about. You don't deserve grace. That's contrary. That person really deserves grace. You can't say that. Grace is received, given without merit. And so we are encouraged to remember and to stand firm in the grace that is connected to us to the Father from the Son, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unmerited favor, and the love of God the Father. So you got grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. God didn't choose you because he hates you. He loves you. I know you hate you every once in a while. Get on board. I hate me every once in a while. I do the same thing. Not often, but it's sometimes. But the truth of the matter is that God loves us. He has made a way for us. That, of course, is the way just prior mentioned, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He enjoys us. He's connected to us. You understand that? It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father. And the one that people get hung up on right here, the last line, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit? That can't be right, Dave. I'm not sure if people understand that that's Holy Writ. And when we sing holy, 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 we're giving praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Yet, you can't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is your counselor. Yet you can't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit guides you. He leads you. He directs you. He confirms to you. He affirms to you. He challenges you. He rebukes you. Yet you can't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Something wrong. What's wrong is that we, as Westerners, don't always understand that the Holy Spirit is God. Because we don't see the face in our minds. It's like, that's fine. You're not going to fully comprehend God this side. I'm not sure we're going to fully comprehend God the other side, but I think we might, because it says we shall see him as he is and then we'll know him. But that's all for then. Here's what I'm talking about now. The Holy Spirit is your counselor, which means you are supposed to have counseling sessions. He is your guidance counselor. Got to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If not, there's something wrong. And Paul is praying that we will understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That will be with all of us. There you go there. The answer to the trivia question, how many chapters are in the book of Leviticus? And the answer is 27. Give Eric props. That is the same number of books in the New Testament. Good catch. If you are in San Diego, if you are in Denver or Detroit, to keep listening to the show, go to hemustincrease.org and click on the Listen Live button. If you are listening by radio or by app, or you're in Dallas, hang out. We're taking a short break, then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I got this morning, and it came from Alice Coleman, and I just want to say, she said it's a praise report to share, so I am assuming it's okay to share, since it's a praise report to share, I kind of go with it. And I want to read it, if that's okay, and I just want you to hear how brothers and sisters petition the Lord, and there's times where God says, yes, listen to this. And she even writes it beautifully. Beautiful job by Alice, by the way. This may seem like a minor issue, but it could have gotten much worse quickly. I'm fostering Mama Cat and her four kittens until they're ready to go to their forever homes. On Tuesday, I got a bit too close to the Mama Cat, and she swatted my hand. I had a few scratches, so I cleaned them up and applied antibiotics. In just a few hours, I had a swollen hand, red with infection, and it spread beyond my wrist. My doctor had same-day appointments if needed. However, I didn't have my car since it was being repaired. The only thing left was for me to pray for healing for my hand. Isn't that amazing that sometimes you're in the position and the only thing left to do is call upon God? She writes, as I watched the infection spread over my hand began to throb. I knew I needed help. I asked God for healing over and over again. On Wednesday, it looked really bad, and I kept asking God for healing. Let me just commend Alice for pushing until something happens. About mid-morning on Wednesday, my hand quit throbbing. Then I noticed that the infection was no longer spreading. Later Wednesday, the infection seemed to be getting smaller. By Wednesday evening, it was definitely clearing up. By bedtime, the infection was gone away. Thursday morning, the infection was completely gone. I praise God for healing the infection. It was only by his intervention that my hand was healed. It's amazing that our great and holy Father can care so much that he is willing to heal a hand infection of one of his children. I think that's a fantastic testimony. So mega props. Mega props to Alice for doing that. Great job. And I hope that was okay that I shared it. And see, the point is, you can pray. You can approach the Lord. And the Lord, you know what? He might say no. I like what Troy said. Sometimes God will say no. It's like, that's the end of it. You're done. But sometimes he allows you to keep petitioning. And the reason he does is because the more you pursue him, the closer connected to him you become. And more of your genuine, real faith has to emerge. See, if you just asked and God did it every time you just asked one time, it'd be like God would be like a genie. Well, God's not a genie. He's your heavenly Father. Needs to be pursued. Wants to have a wonderful relationship with you. And so the more you pursue, the more he gets to spend time with you, which is what he wants in the first place, what he wanted with Adam and Eve.
The David Spoon Experience.